Recruiting never sleeps.
Yes, sir. Let's bring him in, Brian Munson.
Is this kid going to end up in Lincoln to next year wondering if he's going to play?
And neither does Brian Munson.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com.
Nebraska's looking for those bigger guys that can put on the island, play some bump and run, get physical, and really knock those guys off the route.
Mr. Munson!
He's a guy that, to me, I felt like he could have played both sides of the football.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com, HuskerOnline.com.
He had to really work to get back on Nebraska's radar, and his persistence has really paid off.
Now here's a Husker recruiting update from Brian Munson on Game Time.
We're rocking and rolling already, man.
Husker fans, we've held you off long enough. It is that time to talk a little football here on a Thursday. Bringing in one of the many recruiting experts, the one and only Brian Munson. B. Munts, what is up?
What's up, brother?
How you living, my man?
We're back down in Texas, man. Last time I saw you, we were having, a couple slices of Haas, a couple slices of Terminator, right?
There you go, buddy, yeah.
Yeah, dude, we were having a good and sitting there with Talman of all people too. Man. So it was like a big old reunion. So it was awesome.
Right? Yeah. I didn't know if I had a turf war going on. I don't know who works for who. I just sat in the middle and tried not to talk about it. But you guys just fell back in like peas and carrots, as Forrest says.
Oh, I work for him. Trust me. We all bow down to John.
He kind of likes that too. He's a very big fan of that. He's like, yeah. He goes, I got it.
Who wouldn't be, man? Who wouldn't be?
That's fair. It is always good to be the king. Hey, Mutz, lots going on now. Before we get into Nebraska stuff, the kid, he got an opportunity to, is he a preferred walk-on opportunity at Nebraska?
Oh, no. Not a preferred walk-on. They were going to go back and talk about things.
I think
obviously being out of state is a tricky thing for them, right? But, we got some feedback in the days following. Well, immediately following the camp, it was very positive. He got some really, really encouraging feedback.
It sounds like they
really liked his hands. He took the ball away a couple times, and they really liked that. And you know, he's not going to be a 4-4 guy you line up on the outside, but he comes in at 6'2", and he does his thing, and he can work things, and he's a strong kid. And but he got some nice feedback. Coach Held, Coach Walters, Coach Will Height, Coach Cassano, who's like an offensive analyst.
Yep.
And then we got some feedback from Zach Duvall as well. Sounds like they're just going to kind of keep tabs on him and figure out kind of where things are at, man. But he did pick up his first offer in the weeks that followed from UNK.
Yeah,
so UNK Carney has offered. And that was awesome. And he was on the heels of having his best camp all summer out of Wyoming. So in Wyoming, he really did a great job.
Man, so he made it through all 17 of those.
Well, so we cut back on some because once we got the first offer, we felt like everybody else is kind of giving us the senior eval line now. It's we've seen everything we need to see in spring and summer. We need to see some senior film. So we McNeese State, a number of other schools, kind of at Arkansas State, Tulsa, a couple other ones even kind of gave us that line and just said, look, you don't have to show up to camp. We're good. Just give us the film 2 or 3 games in.
Got it. Yeah, I was getting ready to call CPS on you. I mean, I thought 17 was maybe borderline child abuse. I mean, I love you, but that's a lot of camps.
Yeah. No, trust me, man. I am not better for that wear. That wear and tear wore this old guy down. I was feeling it. One day we're in South Dakota State, and the next night we're in Wyoming. It was like, what? What just happened? And then we're in Northern Colorado the next day, and then we're driving home to Dallas the next.
No. You're one with the windshield. You're ready to get out of the car for a little bit.
It was crazy. At least we got to see it snow twice while we were out there in Wyoming and Colorado. First day of summer, snowing up in Estes Park. That was pretty cool.
It's a beautiful thing. I can't wait to get to it because we're supposed to be high 90s for the next 10 days. But well, Munts, keeping her back to football in-state. I don't think it's the one that got away, but I think it's a great opportunity to talk about. Sometimes a kid just wants to go to a school that's not Lincoln, and that's okay. Xavier Watt commits to Notre Dame. I kind of knew it was coming. I like to get into the high 90s for confidence level. I'd never got there from anybody, but good on the young man for making a decision that was best for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you and I, we could go back and throw out three, four innings ourselves
between
Ritter and Good and Robinson and guys that had just decided that it was a better opportunity for them to go ahead and pursue another road. And not everybody's path is the same, not even the people that all just come out of the state of Nebraska. And that's sometimes difficult, but I think it's becoming more and more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in Texas, you'll find out that down here it's cyclical, where they decide 1 year for a 5-year window that it's the cool thing to do to stay in state, to go to A&M, Tech, UT, Baylor, whatever.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, the sexy thing to do is to go to LSU or Florida State or whomever and leave the state. So there's not that kind of cyclical thing that follows Nebraska around, but what you will find there when you got Noah Fant going to Iowa and you got now Watt going to Notre Dame, you're going to get it every 2 to 3 years where I think you're going to find one of those guys that just is going to follow the beat of a different drummer. And totally fine, man. Go ahead and write your own story.
Yeah, Iowa's done a great job in the state. Iowa State used to have a lot of success in state. And Notre Dame, especially for the – and all due respect to everybody, but – for the bigger time, the bigger mentioned targets. You know, Tim Ritter was another one from prep to Notre Dame, which is kind of a more natural path. But they seem to come in, and if it's a big timer.
Yeah. Played against Ty Good, Southeast.
Yeah.
Big time guy there. And obviously covered Trevor Robinson, another big time guy.
Yeah.
Had success over there. And there's been other guys, you know, that even like have escaped. You know, Lincoln Hansen's a guy from the Omaha area that comes to mind that Nebraska just missed on in general. And should have kept him in state. There's those guys too that just got away and went and had success at another place. But I don't want to diminish anything here either. There are a lot of people out there saying, oh, you know, he's a 4 or 5 guy. We've got other guys out there that are doing things better. I disagree. I want to say that, you know, out there to make sure everybody understands. This is a loss for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is a great, great talent. Not only is he a talented receiver, I think he's a guy that could have played both sides of the football.
Really?
He's a guy that could also play in. I think he could have played in the secondary very, very easily. I thought he was a very, very, very talented kid when I had a chance to watch the film. It's going to be interesting to see now that you got a couple of the other studs around that team last year are in Lincoln to see how that team kind of looks in different, you know, being different from last year.
Yep.
So that's going to be something to kind of keep a close eye on, but. He was a hell of a player. Let's just be honest. And I think Nebraska would have been very, very happy to announce both he and Nixon as commitments this last week.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about both of them, we'll get to Nixon in a second here. The thing I like the most is non-football related. And sometimes if, you know, stories get twisted, it's that game of telephone where it gets a little more diluted as it gets to you. But if that conversation was true, what Lamonji said happened at halftime when he walked in there and said, just give me the ball. Right? Just basically said, hey, enough of this. Get me the ball.
Yeah.
I'll take care of the rest. That's the piece that I like the most, outside of the amazing talent the kid has. So that's the more guys you can get like that in the room, and that there's not enough football to go around to everybody, but sometimes you just have a dude that rolls in like, just get it to me, and I'll take care of the rest.
That's right.
And he's the underclassman saying that with one injured stud and one playing stud, and, like, and a stud at running back. It's just like, listen, you keep doing this your way, get me the ball, and I'll take care of the rest. I think that's the part I missed the most. But as you mentioned, Will Nixon commits to Nebraska. Fill us in more what Nebraska's in store for.
Yeah, you know, I obviously doesn't have the same size. He's a little bit underneath 6 foot. He's got probably maybe a step. He's got a little bit more shake. You know, runs more out of the true slot. People that are going to look at that high school at Waco Midway and not really understand where Waco Midway is at in the landscape of Texas high school football. And Waco Midway to me, you know, and this is talking to a guy that talks to his son's head coach all the time about jobs and opportunities and stuff like that. And, you know, Waco Midway is probably a top 10, if not a top 5 job in the state.
Really?
That's a great high school. That's a great high school that turns out a lot of talent, and they have success every single year. So when we start talking about the program and where he's coming from and what he's going to be asked to do and what he's going to be doing again this fall, just know he's coming out of one of the best systems in the state of Texas. I like him because as a possession guy, you have the possession guys that are content on whip routes to get the 5, get the 7, take the hit, go down, get the first down, and then line back up again. What Will does, and I really like this about him, he will give up a yard or two, create separation between he and the DB, and then he is just impossible to tackle one-on-one out there in that space. So he's got that shake. He's got that ability to create some separation there. And like I said, you know, he's not going to be either one of the two Oklahoma Flyers fast in last year's class, but he's quick enough, and he will do some things in space, I think, that are going to hurt some people, which will allow him to get yardage out there. And I think he's just a real great fit for, you know, looking at what they've got coming back, what they got last year, who they're going to have to start replacing, like a Spielman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that kind of guy that's going to be able to line up in that slot and do some really unique things for you.
Well, that short area quickness, right? You know who your burners
absolutely.
Are. But getting in the middle and making guys miss, it gets defenses antsy. And the more guys you can have do that, then the one-on-one tackling, which was always the staple of what I view Nebraska's offense is what Frost was doing at Oregon, is getting that done in that manner. Like, if we're going to get you formationed out, you're going to get a one-on-one, you best not miss, because the next thing we're going to hit is the goalpost.
There's no doubt. You know, and that's so funny you brought that up, because they didn't just run that Michigan game. They reran the Michigan State game. But while I was waiting for the Michigan State game to come up with, you know, Brandon Riley's catch, I rewatched Oregon at home. And to your point, that's all it is. It's about matchups and creating space and getting guys in that space that have that type of ability to make a guy miss and be a threat to kind of take it to the house anytime you want to go ahead and make one guy miss. And I think between him, you know, Nixon and Wandale Robinson, those are the kind of players right there that are going to have a defensive coordinator, you know, preparing for them, you know, the week before they even have to play against them.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those deals where it's like, holy cow, I have got matchup problems and serious issues about my confidence and my solo tackling, my ability to go ahead and make a solo tackle out there on the edge, on the island. I mean, that if you got that problem, these kind of guys right there are going to exploit it.
Muntz, and it's that time of year with the new early signing period. Is it panic button time for a Nebraska fan, being that the class is – I like the class, but it's not high enough rated, and there's not enough guys in it, and it's all this and all that. Are you able to mute that out, being in the industry, and be like, hey, I know where they're going to be with at the end?
Yeah, absolutely. This is not panic button time by any means.
Panic button's probably a poor term by me, just like, do you have questions?
No. I think honestly, it's still a completely relevant term. I think there are some guys out there that wish that there was a little bit more volume in this class right now. I wouldn't get caught up on the volume. I'm caught up on the fact that despite the fact, you know, that they just missed a major target in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You got Corcoran from Oklahoma, away from OU. Being from Kansas, where Nebraska has had little to no luck, let's be honest, in getting guys out of there in the past few years. And you got Khan as well. And I think Khan's the kind of guy that's got potential to do inside or outside. And then you go get the polar bear.
Yeah.
And you had to pull the polar bear away from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And you just lost a guy a year ago out of your backyard in from Lincoln to go to Madison.
Yep.
So I think that the right things are happening. The right guys, let's just put it this way. Guys from those states are part of this class. I wished that Nebraska was a little bit more successful with the offensive linemen they've had in Colorado this year. But sometimes that's just the way it's going to go ahead and go in that state.
Yeah, it definitely is. So as you're looking at this, do you have anything that's near to completion? Do you see anybody committing here in the next like, say, month?
Next month.
Yeah, good inside sources. You don't have to tell us who they are. Just give us some positive.
Yeah, it's nothing really is standing out to me right now. I mean, obviously, I told last week Nick, watch out for Watt.
Mm-hmm.
This one's gonna fall pretty quick. And I think we knew about Nash, you know, getting into and all that good stuff. But I don't see really anybody else that's kind of just sitting out there, kind of waiting to jump into Nebraska. I think this is gonna be. Situation is going to get a little bit quiet for the next couple, 3 weeks. Maybe some guys are going to come in and see some early fall camp practices. And then I think you're going to see a couple really busy official visit weekends, those first two or three weekends for Nebraska there in September.
Okay. Well, Tiger Munson, hey, buddy, I always appreciate you taking some time. I always like the conversation.
You betcha, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Munson. Brian Munson, part of the Rivals Network, joining us here on Game Time. Always good to catch up with him. The Watts deal, hey, sometimes you just fall in love with a school. How many times you hear kids from out of state say, hey, I saw Nebraska and I knew that was the spot? It happens in the inverse sometimes, too. Xavier Watts, the family went up, saw Notre Dame, saw South Bend, like, yep, this is it. I think 9 out of 10, you know. You get on campus and you know. You fit, and he did. There have been rumblings and, hey, this is going to go here and this is going to do that. Nebraska did the best they could. Didn't work out. Good on the young man to make that tough decision because you know you're probably going to catch it from some people when you get back home or when you're getting ready to play. But we're going to step out here and take a break.
Well, let's remind them because we got a crossover after this.
So we got to reset our contest.
Yes.
All right. So we have 5 tickets to the Wu-Tang Clan August 1st at Stir Concert Cove at 8 p.m.
Five pair.
That's what I said.
You said 5 tickets.
You
said 5 tickets.
5 pair of tickets. We have 5 pair of tickets. I get excited to talk fast.
I understand that.
We have 5 pair of tickets to give away to the August 1st performance of the Wu-Tang Clan at Stir Concert Cove. Starts at 8 p.m. Get a little dinner, get you a little drink, get you a little something else. Had to see Wu-Tang. Okay? The rules for the contest. You have to send in a picture of you, as Chris did, with a member of the Wu-Tang Clan, or you in Wu-Tang memorabilia. If you have a hat, if you have an old CD, if you have anything like that, let's got Wu-Tang Clan. Send it to George at 1620thezone.com. If you send those in, George will notify you. He will send you lyrics. Then at noon on Friday, July 12th, you will call in. He will send you the phone number as well as the lyrics. You will rap said line, and you can win tickets. One of the 5 pair of tickets that we have available. You can win 1 pair of tickets to see Wu-Tang. Good?
Yeah, that's good.
Because cash does rule everything around us, George.
Mm-hmm. Dollar bill, y'all.
Get the money. All right, now we're going to take a break. Yep. Come back, crossover with the boys.
Got the crossover.
Wrap her up for the day here on 1620 The Zone.